Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast, It's Football, Not Soccer. I'm your host, Atharva Ranjan. And today's episode is our Euros 2020 preview. Well, it's called the 2020 because for obvious reasons, it was cancelled last year and postponed to this year in 2021. And the last time it was held was in 2016 when Portugal were crowned champions. And if they win this time, they would be the second side to retain it since Spain last did it in 2012. Another feature is that two new teams are making their first appearances, Finland and North Macedonia. So first of all, let's talk about the teams that each of us are supporting. Atharva Bapat, first up, what do you have as your team?
Yeah, so I support Germany, die Mannschaft, as they're called in Deutsch. Germany, well, they are a big side historically, but as we've come to know, these past few years, they haven't been at their best. It's been an evolving side. And this is also going to be Joachim Löw's last tournament as Germany manager, and he is going to be replaced by Hansi Flick. So about Germany, so the form in the qualifiers was not great because they lost to North Macedonia 2-1, which was only their third loss in World Cup qualifying ever. So that tells you a story. Also, I have a few key stats with me. So the formation that we play nowadays is either a 5-2-3 or a 3-4-3 with three centre backs. That doesn't usually change. We've also recalled Thomas Müller and Mats Hummels, who were in exile since 2018 World Cup, but now they're back. So that's a really good boost to this Germany team. We also have three Euro titles in our history. Two as West Germany and one as a unified German team. We also have the record of participating in the most Euros in history. So Germany are a huge mainstay in this competition. Since 1972, they haven't missed out in the final for more than two tournaments in a row. So according to that stat, they should make the final this year, hopefully. Also, I have a few key players to highlight from the team. Kimmich is the first one. He has over 50 caps for Germany now, and he's just an integral part of this team. He can play either midfield, central defensive midfield, or at right back. And he just controls everything that Germany do and is a really important player for us. Next I have is Manuel Neuer. Amazing player. What a keeper he is. The goat keeper, as many people call him. He's close to reaching 100 caps for Germany now. So that is a record that he'll be eyeing this Euros. Again, the captain of this team and really important for us. And the last key player I have is İlkay Gündoğan. He's had an amazing season for City this year. Scored a lot of goals, which was quite unusual for him. So I think, I hope he replicates that form for Germany this summer. I also have a few players that we should look out for, a few upcoming talents. I have Serge Gnabry, Kai Havertz and Jamal Musiala as the players to look out for this tournament for Germany. Our group is easily the toughest in the tournament, the group of death, as we call it. We also have Portugal, France and Hungary in it. So again, we couldn't have gotten a tougher group than this. But the thing to keep in mind is that Germany can still qualify as one of the four best third place teams. So that's still an option. So don't worry, Germany fans out there. Also, the last time Germany met Portugal in a major tournament, they beat Portugal 4-0. That was in the World Cup 2014 group stage. And the last time they met France in a major tournament, that was when they lost 2-0 in the semis of the 2016 Euros. So there are a few controversial squad decisions that I would like to name. The first one, and I think the biggest one, is leaving out Florian Wirtz. He's an upcoming talent for Bayer Leverkusen. And people who following the U21 World Cup, he also scored two goals in the semis. And Germany have actually won the Under-21 World Cup last night, actually. So he's just 18 years old, and he could have had an impact off the bench if he would have been selected in the squad. And I think he's a huge miss because he offers something different. Also, Kevin Volland has been included for the first time in I think 2 or 3 years. He has had a great season for Monaco in the French league, and I think that really boosts our attack. Also, their Ter Stegen is not going to play because of an injury. So yeah, I would also like to specify what I think is the ceiling and floor for Germany. That is the minimum and maximum positions they can reach, in my opinion. So for the floor, I have the round of 16. I think they have to reach that as such a huge nation, such a huge history. They have to get to the round of 16, in my opinion. And the ceiling, well, this is going to be controversial, but realistically, if I'm thinking about it, they will reach the semis, I think. I don't think they have the capabilities to reach the final and actually become champions yet, but I'm sure they'll improve. And yeah.
All right, let's move on to the second team, second person actually, Kevin. Kevin, what's your pick for this year?
I have decided to root for England, the Three Lions, this summer, probably setting myself up for disappointment considering how bad these players perform in major tournaments. But still, the squad that they have is really incredible. A new generation of players coming through. This squad definitely has the potential to go all the way, and that's what I think. The mentality that they have is going to affect the season. They need to play with that winner's mentality and forget all their past records behind them. Coming to their form in qualifiers, it was the World Cup qualifiers. They have a perfect record of having won 3 out of 3. And they're definitely in form, and even the friendlies they breezed through Austria and Romania quite effortlessly. And in the Euros, the group difficulty, when I'm coming to that, it's a relatively easy group, I'd say, because they have a relatively easy group. And I really think that they can finish top of the group in here. Yeah, coming to squad decisions, England probably had the most anticipated wait for the squad to be released. A lot of controversy was expected related to Trent Alexander-Arnold, whether he was going to be selected or not. In the end, he was selected, but unfortunately picked up an injury in the friendly game against Austria and now has to sit out the entire Euros. Instead of him, there was... A lot of people were saying, even I thought personally, that England should have brought in a midfielder considering they have a bit of a lack of depth in midfield. But instead, Southgate has decided to go with Ben White, another defender, which is a bit of a debatable choice. And it certainly raised quite a few eyebrows. So yeah, the squad decisions, after all these controversy, I still think it's a pretty good squad and they have the capability to do very well. Players to look out for. I have a few players here, some few upcoming talents. Phil Foden, obviously one of the best youngsters in the league and won the PFA Young Player of the Year recently. He definitely could have a very good tournament. Jude Bellingham as well. He's just 18 years old and what a career he's started off. And he definitely has a big tournament. He can prove a lot of his doubters wrong. And Jack Grealish is another one I have. You could argue that he could be an important player for England, but considering that he had a season which was cut short abrupt by an injury which kept him out for the entire season, he has just returned and has been performing really well. But it has to be seen whether Southgate gives him a chance ahead of the likes of Rashford or Sterling. And obviously the key players, the ones that England cannot afford to miss, are Marcus Rashford. Definitely one of the best youngsters. You can't even call him a youngster now. He's shown that much maturity recently. And he became a captain of the England team lately and definitely has a very important role to play. Harry Kane, obviously, for obvious reasons, he is the best striker in the Premier League, has most assists in the league this season and had won the Golden Boot as well. A lot of England's hopes are riding on him. And Mason Mount as well, Champions League winner, had a very good season with Chelsea, was given Chelsea's Player of the Year as well. And yeah, he is, a lot of people have doubts over him and he has proved a lot of people wrong this season. So yeah, these three are the most important players for England who they cannot afford to miss at any stage. Now coming to the ceiling and the floor, I think this England squad definitely has the potential to win the whole thing. The only thing that might stop them is the mentality and the past troubles, which I've mentioned before. In fact, they've only reached the semi-finals twice, the last time being in 1996. That's a bit of a woeful record, if I'm honest. And they have to put all that behind them and focus on all the talent that they have. They definitely have the potential. And the floor, just like Bapat said about Germany, I think this team has to get to the round of 16 at least. There's no denying that they have a very easy group. And round of 16, you can't predict who you're going to get. So it's a bit of a tricky job for them at the round of 16. It could be the end of the road for them. But yeah, a round of 16 is definitely the minimum that they have to reach.
All right, so that sums up England. Is it or is it not coming home this time? The big question. Spurs, you have a question to ask?
Yeah, Kevin, I just wanted to ask you. You said that Ben White was a controversial decision. But I do think that... So Maguire is injured. He is one of the key centre-backs. Okay, so that's why I think he has put... He's brought in Ben White instead of James Ward-Prowse, as you said. So don't you think that pretty much sums it up?
It is... Yeah, you could maybe make an argument for that, but they still have Tyrone Mings and Connor Cody as their centre-back backups. And I think it's going to be pretty much straightforward for them. There's not going to be much of a problem with the centre-backs. And I think Harry Maguire will not miss the entire Euros. He will play a huge part when he is fit. But again, Ward-Prowse, because his set-piece delivery is just brilliant. He's probably the best dead ball specialist in the Premier League. And that could be a very important aspect that England could have used if he was in the squad. And I think they might miss his influence a bit from those sort of areas.
Fair enough.
Well, there was a good factoid I read today that James Ward-Prowse had four goals from set pieces, like excluding penalties. And nobody in the league has more than him. So one question I had to ask you, Kevin, was that... with no specific leader, I mean, there is Harry Kane, but he is not that great of a leader, if you could say. But they don't have Maguire, they don't have Henderson, both are on the injured side, may or may not play the Euros. Do you really think with no leader, they can go very far as champions?
Well, even though there's no Henderson, like he's injured, but he's still going to be in the camp. He's still going to be a massive influence for the players. And in the dressing room, you need a voice to motivate you when you're down. And I think Henderson, even though he's injured, could play a major part in it. Even Maguire, a lot of people have slated him for his captaincy, but I think he's a pretty good captain. And even if he's injured as well, he also can have an impact in the dressing room.
All right. Fair enough. Let's move on to the next team. Amit, what's your pick for this year?
I'm supporting the Azzurri, Italy, the Italian national team. Finished in the finals in the 2012 Euros. Have had a pretty torrid spell since then in international football. But have managed to win 27. Have managed to be defeatless in the past 27 of the games on the national stage in the years, practically. Won all their Euro qualification games, won all their World Cup qualification games. It's looking great. As for the players that you need to look out for in this really nice and young team that Italy has, Marco Verratti, in my opinion, is one of the best midfielders in Europe. He might not play because of an injury, but assuming he plays, he becomes a very important cog in this team. Then, of course, you have Lorenzo Insigne. In Europe, you could argue he's the best in Serie A. Amazing season, best of his career. He's in his prime. And of course, we have Gigi Donnarumma filling in Gigi Buffon's shoes. And Donnarumma has had 200 plus appearances for AC Milan. The kid's like 21 or 22 years old. Insane goalkeeper, insane abilities. He has a lot of expectations to live up to as well. And because he's a free agent, I think he'd like to put himself in the shop window with a solid display in the Euros. For players who would look out for Nicolò Barella playing his first international tournament, he's an amazing player. As someone who watches Inter, he has been key, our best midfielder this season for sure. He'll play a vital part in this Italy team, playing as a mezzala, which is like a half winger or as a box-to-box midfielder. We have Locatelli as like the number 5 or 6 in your team. He's great as a center defensive midfielder, and he has a good eye for a goal, like from range. So that'll be great to look for. And a player who's had a great season with Juve, a great second half to the season with Juve, is Federico Chiesa. He is relatively young. He'll be playing on the right wing, and I'm sure expectations are high for him, high for him, and he'll be brilliant. I do hope he will be. I do think Italy are one of the best. I don't think branding them as a favorite is right. I do think they're more of a dark horse, and they are in a pretty tough group by their standards. They're playing Wales, they've got Switzerland, and they've got Turkey. Turkey are also one of the dark horses whom we'll get onto later. Switzerland have a very solid team. Wales too, with absolute players like Gareth Bale and Dan James, do have a bit of a team going on there. So if you're talking about ceiling, despite me hating to admit it, this team might not be able to get out of their group. And wait, that's not ceiling, that's floor. Oh shit. Wait, if we're talking about our floor, yeah, we might not be able to get out of our group. But if we're talking about our ceiling, I do think that this Italy team should get to the semis. After that, there are teams such as France and Belgium that are absolute favorites that they might lose to. But semifinals will be a great place to be, especially after not being able to play in the World Cup in 2018 and with all the things that have happened to Italy this decade.
Yeah, so Amit, I have a question for you regarding Italy's attack. So who do you think will start in the front three for Italy?
Okay, front three, I think Insigne is a nailed-on player. He's one of the most, he is probably the most important player if I had to choose one in this team, creatively, and everything he does on the left wing, marauding down left, the left wing. Insigne is key. Insigne starts. Immobile has to start, in my opinion. He was the golden boot winner in the 2019-20 season. Has tailed off a bit since last season, but he still has a very decent goal-scoring record this season. Belotti is decent, but Immobile is definitely the first-choice striker. As for the right wing, you have Federico Chiesa, who in my opinion should start. However, there are players such as Domenico Berardi or Bernardeschi, who plays for Juve, who can be looked into. I don't understand the inclusion of the 21-year-old Raspadori from Sampdoria. I feel like Moise Keane really deserved the spot in the team. But again, final three, Insigne, Immobile and Chiesa.
All right, so that sums up Italy. Let's move on to Spurs. Spurs, who's your pick? Already have a feeling about it, but who is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's Portugal. I'm really rooting for Portugal this time out because, last time, the last Euros, they won. And Eder scored in the 114th minute, and it was a really good match. And Ronaldo was on the sidelines, and he was managing the team even though he was injured. It was a sight to see. And I really think that this time as well, their team is world class. They have so many players in all the positions because this time they have been really good. Because their form as well. So they drew recently with Spain, but with Luxembourg, Serbia, and Portugal, they have been with Ayer Bayern. They won all the games, and I really think that with the form as well and the manager Santos, they can really really do well in the competition, and I'm really rooting for them. One key stat I'll tell you is that Ronaldo, he's only 6 goals away from breaking the most goals record for any international. International country for the country, most goals scored by one player. I really think that. I mean, it's difficult for Ronaldo to score 6 goals in one tournament, but still, he would want to break that record. Now, moving on to players to look out for, I'll first tell you about the 3 key players which Portugal have to play in each and every match. First, obviously, it's Ronaldo, because he would be looking to break the record by scoring those 6 goals and maybe even more. Then Bruno Fernandes is a no-brainer, because for United, he has been next level. He has been completely instrumental for United's second place and Europa League final. So Bruno Fernandes is next, and obviously Ruben Dias, because he has been the rock at the back for Manchester City, and he also won the PFA. So I really think these 3 players are the most key players who have to play each and every game for Portugal. The players to look out for, this is interesting. So Diogo Jota, this guy has been really, really good buy for Liverpool. He scored 9 goals, even though he was injured. But he has this killer instinct that he can sniff out goals. And I think that would be something that Portugal will look out for. Then Nuno Mendes, the left back, he's just 18 years old, and he's a really good up and coming left back, and I really think that he's going to be world class in the future. He's one to look out for as well. The other player, let me think. Okay, the other player, I kind of blanked out right now, but I'll say João Felix. Yeah, João Felix. He's a young teenager who plays for Atletico Madrid, and Atletico Madrid bought him for 126 million, and we can say that he has not proven his worth yet, but I think that with the Euros, he's going to get that platform to showcase his talent on a global scale, and I really think that he's going to take his chance. I don't have much to say about the squad decisions, because it was pretty straightforward. So I will again also not talk about the group difficulty as well, because they are in the toughest group with Germany, France, and Hungary. So I'll tell you about the ceiling and the floor. I really think the ceiling would be to win the Euros, because last time out they won. And with a better squad, I definitely think that they can reach the final and they can win it because of the mentality of the players. Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Dias, Cristiano Ronaldo, they are completely elite level players with their mentality and their talent. And the floor would be, I really think, obviously, I mean, they have to get out of the group, even with Germany and France. I really think that they have to, even if they are third, they will at least reach the round of 16. In the round of 16, it's a knockout, so you can't really say. So that would be the lowest they can achieve in this tournament. So that would be the floor.
Yeah, Sparsh, you just spoke about the team and how Nuno Mendes is one of the players to look out for, and I do agree he's an amazing left back. But do you think he should start over someone like Rafael Guerrero, who's always like up and about for Borussia Dortmund? He always seems to have a good season. Would you prefer Mendes for the tournament experience, or would you go with the more experienced Guerrero, who won it in 2016 and has had a good season?
So with Guerrero, he is not a consistent player for Dortmund. He sometimes plays really well, sometimes he is a miss, sometimes. But with Nuno Mendes, he's a young player, and he's going to be very hungry, and he's going to be very eager to perform. So I think the right choice would be to give him the chance to showcase his talent on a global level.
Right, Sparsh, I had a question for you. Well, we all know Cristiano Ronaldo is like one of the greatest of all times. But one thing is that he's kind of dropped out in Juve this year. He underperformed himself overall, which is kind of the reason why they didn't really win much this year. So do you really think he still has the grit in him that he had in the 2018 World Cup or in the Euros 2016? That would let him, you know, bring this team to glory.
So, yes, naturally with age, there is a decline, even though he's almost superhuman, but there's a decline. We can say that. And there's not necessarily only a decline for his from his side, but there's a decline in the Juve team as well, with Pirlo, a novice manager, managing Juve, and now he's obviously sacked. So I won't blame everything on Ronaldo that he has not performed at his level. I really think for Portugal, with the players they have, we are going to see a completely different Ronaldo, and he's going to really outperform each and every player. I really think so.
All right. So I'll come to my decision now, my team. Well, I've been backing Spain for quite some time now, and I'm going to stick with Spain. Well, I know they've had quite, they're kind of dropped off ever since their glory years with the whole Barca and Real Madrid combined godlike squad that they had. But overall, in the World Cup qualifiers recently, their form was all right. They had a 1-1 draw with Greece, 2-1 win against Georgia, and 3-1 win against Kosovo. They did draw with Spain, Portugal recently, but it's all right. I mean, I think they should be all right. Specific key players, I think this time it's got to be Laporte, who he didn't get his chances at Man City. He wasn't called up at France, and if he switched, that's why he switched citizenships to get a chance at the Euros. And I think he's going to be really, really good for Spain this year. He's going to be a big help. Another player is Ferran Torres, another City player who has been scoring well in the Nation League, especially. He was pretty decent. He's been bagging goals in for Spain. So I think he should be all right. And then Marco Llorente, who was just wow for Atletico Madrid. He was great at Real, and I still regret selling him to Atletico. He was just amazing, and he still is. He's showing that now. Specific players I want to look out for, that other teams should look out for, it's two Villarreal players, Gerard Moreno and Pau Torres, both who, like, you know, got their teams to Europa League glory. And they were amazing. Gerard Moreno was one of the top scorers in La Liga this year. He should be I would pick him over Morata, actually, for our number 9 player. And another shout is Pedri from Barca. What a player he's been for Pedri. Just brilliant. He's just been sensational as a youngster. And I think if you would play him along with Busquets, he'd just be brilliant. Squad decisions, they were quite... I mean, yes, as a Real Madrid fan, I am shocked that there's no Ramos, there's no Nacho. Two players who... Ramos is the leader you need. No matter what, he's that voice in the room who will tell you that, you know, push ahead, go ahead, let's go for it. But he's just not there. I don't know what was up in Enrique's mind when he came up with this decision. Lucas Vazquez was also not picked. I know he's injured, but I think he would be fit maybe if he comes in after the group stages. He should be fit enough to play then. Nacho has been a rock with the absence of Ramos at Real Madrid. He's been that captain-like form. So even if you don't want to pick Ramos because of his form, Nacho should have been there. He should be with Laporte and Nacho as your centre-back pairing. You'd be unstoppable. I definitely think Spain's defence would have been unstoppable, unbreakable, actually. But again, it depends on Enrique. Enrique, I think, is a bit Barca-biased, which is why I don't see him. I'm going to see him play probably Busquets over Rodri, when I think Rodri should be a pick for the defensive midfielder. And obviously, you can't play both of them together, because otherwise we won't have anything in attack at all. Overall, the group difficulty, it's not that much because it's Slovakia, Poland and Sweden. Poland and Sweden are good teams, but it's just between them for the second place. Spain easily should be topping this group going on for round of 16. For me, their ceiling has... if we are like very, very lucky, if we get an easy pick or we play very well with this random team... maybe we'll do well. We'll reach the semis, but otherwise quarters, no higher than the quarters. Their floor, it's got to be a round of 16 knockout. They'll top the group, but then they'll probably get a bad draw and or whoever it is. I'm not really sure with I don't know much about the listing and all. So they'll probably be knocked out in round of 16. All right. So now let's start discussing some teams, or does anybody have any questions?
Ranjan, I wanted to ask you something about the Spanish national team. I wanted you to address their goalkeeper situation, because at the moment they have gone with David De Gea from Manchester United, Unai Simon from Bilbao, and Robert Sanchez from Brighton. Completely left out Kepa Arrizabalaga of Chelsea. And they are, I think they're going to go with Simon as their first choice a goalkeeper. And with a big name like De Gea sitting on the bench, it might cause a bit of an upset. So what do you have to say about that?
Oh, well, actually, my pick could also be De Gea, and it doesn't look like he's going to be there, but he should be there. He may have had a poor season, World Cup last time, but he just got his chance after Casillas' long term at Spain. But I don't know, it should be De Gea. Hopefully Enrique comes to his senses and picks De Gea. But if he doesn't, I don't trust Simon that much. But I mean, he's been decent. He's a Bilbao keeper. Bilbao always somehow comes up with these brilliant keepers, and I don't trust him over De Gea. Kepa was an obvious thing. I wouldn't say he was not going to be picked, but Robert Sanchez was also pretty nice. I mean, so Kepa was anyways not going to get the start.
Atharva, I had a question for you as well.
Yeah, ask away.
You spoke about the Barcelona. Enrique's Barcelona ties causing not to take Nacho. And in my opinion, he should have been part of the squad. He took only 24 players, which I think is pretty stupid. But moving on, he's taken 3 Barca players. So you can't even say that there's like much of a bias. That too, Pedri is like, he has had like a wonder season for his first ever season. Busquets and Jordi Alba, make of them what you will, honestly. They've been around forever. But I don't think it's bias, is it?
Well, think of it this way. There's Busquets and there's Jordi Alba. Jordi Alba, yeah, sure, he's been all right for Barca. He's been pretty good. Maybe he'll be effective at Euros. But do you really think that you'd pick... I'd rather have Rodri over Busquets. Rodri was just better at City. And Barca biased because he was a Barca manager, wasn't he? He didn't pick any Real Madrid players. It's just that way. Maybe not. It's just I'm speaking as a fan, so I don't know. Okay, so let's talk about some other teams that we are not supporting. Just some teams that are worth a mention. Bapert and Spurs. Bapert and Amit. We'll talk about Netherlands first.
Yeah, so Netherlands, again, a huge nation and massive history. They also didn't qualify for the last 2 major tournaments, which is really bad from considering their standards. So they'll be really raring to go for this tournament and leave their mark on it. Their form in qualifiers coming into this tournament has been 2 wins and a loss. They also have a relatively new manager in Frank de Boer. If anyone remembers the meme, Frank de Boer, Spel de Waal, Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so yeah, he's not done great, but he's not done bad as well for the Netherlands team. They currently play in a 5-3-2 formation, which is also relatively new for them, with marauding wing backs. Again, they are really young players, and they'll be raring to go and hungry for success this tournament. Their record in the Euros is their best finish was a Euro title in 1988, when the likes of Ruud Gullit and Frank Rijkaard were still around. Also, I have a killer stat for you. Be ready for this. So, Jordi Cruyff, the son of Johan Cruyff, has scored more Euro goals than his dad. I hope you're
Johan
shocked. That is a shocking
Cruyff
stat.
Johan Cruyff has scored 0 goals. Sheesh.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to key players for Netherlands. First and foremost, you've got to mention the main frontman, Memphis Depay. Currently linked to a move to Barca. I'm really happy if that really goes through. He is in amazing goal scoring form, having scored in 4 consecutive matches, the first one to do so since, I think, Van Persie back in 2013. So again, he's in great form, will be really important for them if they are to go far in this tournament. The second one I would like to mention is De Ligt. Again, in the absence of Van Dijk, we will all be hoping to see some good performances from him, because their defense has recently looked a bit leaky. They have conceded a few goals, so that'll be interesting to watch. And the third player I have as a key player is Jorginho Wijnaldum from Liverpool. He's left Liverpool this season now and apparently rejected a move to Barca. I mean, I'm actually happy about that because I'm a Barca fan and I didn't really want him at the club. He's chosen PSG over Barca. That's fine. So yeah, Wijnaldum, a really important player for Netherlands. He scores a lot of goals, which is unlike what he did at Liverpool, but he's a really important figure for this Netherlands national team. Players to look out for. So these are upcoming young players who we should have a watch out for. First one I have is the left wing back for Netherlands, Owen Wijndal. Again, an upcoming player. He plays for AZ Alkmaar in the Netherlands. Again, interesting watch. The second one I have is Ryan Gravenberch, a central defensive midfielder who plays for Ajax in the Netherlands again. And the third one I have is Wout Weghorst, who plays for Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga. He also recently scored his first goal for the national team. Over to Amit.
Furthermore, there have been a few inclusions and a fair few players who should have been based off of their performances. For example, Hans Hartelbauer has been included for, he's a versatile player, played well for Atalanta on both sides of both wings. There's also Sven Botman, who has contributed to Lille, or as my friend Atharva Ranjan would say, Lille's rock-solid defense, the best in Europe, conceding only 21 goals this season. They're also in one of the easier groups containing teams like North Macedonia and Ukraine. They also have Austria in their group. I do feel like their manager, Frank De Boer, is kind of sus. With his 3-5-2 and 5-3-2 formation changes, and they haven't had the best of form as of late. So things could be sketchy for this Netherlands side. However, I do think that they are in contention for doing really well at this in this competition.
Okay, I liked your prep. I did not like the attack on my French pronunciations. Let's move
Lille
on.
Lille is amazing, man.
Let's just move on to the next team, Belgium. Kevin, you start off.
Yeah, Belgium is widely regarded as one of the favorites going into this tournament by a lot of people. And they definitely are a very good team and have the capability to do it. This is widely regarded as their golden generation. And they are not getting any younger. This might be their last chance to finally win a trophy. They are in a decent run of form coming into this. They have They have won two and drawn one of their three World Cup qualifying matches, which included an 8-0 win against Belarus. That is quite the result. And yeah, this could be one of their last chances to win a major tournament. The last time they reached as far as the finals was in 1980. That's their highest finish as runners-up, where they lost to West Germany. And this time they'll be definitely eyeing for that silverware, which they can add to their collection. So moving on to some of their key players, and it's fairly straightforward here. Romelu Lukaku is one of the best strikers in the world based on recent form, and he's been on fire in the Serie A. Kevin De Bruyne is one of the best midfielders in the world and has had a good season with City. Eden Hazard has had a bit of a tough time with Real Madrid with injuries and form. He has a lot to prove and hope, but you can't deny his importance for Belgium, and if he clicks, their entire team will click.
All right. I have three players who should be looked out for, like who other teams should look out for. One is Tielemans from Leicester, who had quite the season. And I mean, he did pretty well. He even in that FA Cup game finals against Chelsea, he was quite the standout player. So, I mean, he's one of my picks. Another would be Leandro Trossard, who is from Brighton, who is quite the player. I mean, and I actually adore him as a left midfielder. He can be quite good. And if Eden Hazard doesn't perform well in the starting games, maybe you can bring out Trossard to play the left wing role. And another person is, again, Atletico Madrid's Yannick Carrasco. Well, Atletico Madrid won the La Liga, and although Pranam is not here today, you may have heard major claims about how much he loves to see Carrasco play. And so, yeah, Carrasco is another pick for me. Their group is not that difficult, actually. It's Denmark, Russia, Finland, just like Spain. They're going to top that group. It's just between the second and third position for Denmark and Russia. Finland, they don't really have a chance this year. For me, their ceiling should be... Well, I mean, they should go all out because they know there's not much time left for them. Their father time ain't being too... ain't slowing down. So they should go for championship. They could win it also. So that's my ceiling. Floor... I'd say quarterfinals, maybe semifinals also, actually. They're definitely a top four team this year. So, yeah. All right. So, let's move on to France now. Sparsh?
Yes, so France. France won the 2018 World Cup, and they also were the they reached the finals of the 2016 Euros. I really think that they're also one of the favorites, like, as Ranjan said previously, and because it's a no-brainer. They have two good players for each position of the team. And yeah, over to you, Bapat. I really don't have much to say about France, except that they are the favorites to win the Euros.
So as Spur said, not much to say there. France, obviously, favorites for this tournament. I would like to highlight a few key players. So, first I have is Mbappe. Obvious pick. I'm not even going to say anything. He's become a key player for them over the years. Second I have is Griezmann. Even though he doesn't perform as well as he does with Barca, he still manages to play well for France and is an integral part of that attack. And I think he's going to play an important role once again for the team, as he did in the 2016 Euros when he was the top scorer in their homeland because it was hosted in France. So I think, Griezmann is another one. And the third one I have is Kante. Everyone knows how good he is. He's won Chelsea the Champions League. People even have a few shouts for him to win the Ballon d'Or this season, but I think that's a bit far-fetched. But yeah, again, an important player for this side. Players to look out for, meaning young and upcoming players, except Benzema, because he's been out of this team for 6 years and has been recalled by Deschamps. I don't know why, but it's happened. I mean, everyone was anticipating it. But yeah, Benzema is back. He looks to be in good form on the back of his great season with Real Madrid. So that's one. I have Kimpembe, who is a great central defender for PSG. The third one I have is Dembele, a bit of Barca bias there from my side. I do think he can make an impact off the bench, and he also showed what he can do in the last game. He scored a goal off the bench. So I think these are the players that we should keep an eye out for.
All right. So up next now is our segment for dark horses for the... barring these teams which are obvious, the major teams in the Euros, there are some who need to be mentioned, like the dark horses. Kevin, what's your pick?
I think Turkey are going to be the dark horses in this tournament. They definitely have a good squad, a rather underrated squad. They have a great striker in Burak Yılmaz. And yeah, I think this team can definitely cause a lot of upsets if they get to the round of 16.
Bapat?
Yeah, so my pick for the dark horse is Denmark. They have a relatively average side on, if people look from the outside, but still they managed to get their results. They're decent defensively, have good options at center back with Christensen, Kjær, Yannick Vestergaard, etc. They also have Braithwaite, the goat, in their attack. So yeah, they are a good shot in my opinion.
Sparsh, who's your pick?
For me, it's definitely Croatia because they reached the World Cup finals in 2018, even though they lost 4-2. I really think that they have players like Modric, Perisic, Vida as a central center back, and they are a good unit. Even though they don't have any standout players, they're a good unit, and I think they are definitely a dark horse for this Euros tournament.
Amit, what's your pick?
My pick for dark horse, the dark horse of the tournament is Ukraine. They have a solid midfield with Zinchenko and Malinovsky in there. Their manager is Shevchenko, who can do everything, including modeling, apparently. He can do everything except score for Chelsea. Yeah, I think they can go far in the tournament.
Oh, man. Okay. My pick is Poland, actually, because Lewandowski is in just like crazy form in the past two seasons. He could, he can make that crap team look great. He even did that in the Nations League. Two other big shouts are Sweden and Austria, actually, with David Alaba, and Sweden defensively are also pretty good. All right, let's move to the Golden Boot. Kevin, what's your pick? Golden Boot.
I think the Golden Boot is going to be won by Harry Kane of England. He has a big summer ahead of him with a lot of transfer speculation, and we'll be having a lot of eyes on him. And he will definitely be looking to score a lot of goals. And I think he's going to win the Golden Boot.
Bappert.
For me, it's going to be Romelu Lukaku. He's the main goal scorer for Belgium, and Belgium are looking good. So yeah, Lukaku.
Sparsh.
For me, it's going to be a surprise pick, but I think it's going to be Jadon Sancho. He's going to come to United this next season, and I really think that he's going to prove everyone wrong, and he's going to do it.
Sparsh, I think you need to start taking your schizophrenia medicines.
No.
Amit, what's your pick?
Sparsh, may God bless you and Jadon Sancho. I genuinely don't know what to say. I thought what I was going to say is crazy. Sparsh, you've topped it, but I was going to say Ciro Immobile, and he's going to score two perfect hat tricks.
Also, a weird pick. Maybe you both need to see
it. Better than a Sancho shout. Let's be honest. It's better.
You both
than
need
Sancho
to see
shout.
A doctor. Please go see a doctor. My pick
Let's
is going to be
after the tournament.
And I thought my pick would be my pick is Kylian Mbappe, actually, because France, they're going to go through. Yeah. Kylian Mbappe is going to be the straight up striker. It's either Mbappe or Benzema. If they pick Benzema and they pass it to him, it's going to be over for any team ahead. All right. So, I guess that sums up our Euros 2020 review, preview actually, not review. Thank you all for joining in. We had quite the talks, and I'll let the viewers know later if Sparsh and Amit did take their schizophrenia medicines or not.
Wait. Before we end with the medicines, our friend Prana wanted us to mention this, so I'm just going to. We were talking about the winners and how France are favorites, but I personally, I'm quoting Pranav here, he's having trouble deciding between North Macedonia and France, and he does think North Macedonia has a better chance. So before you come at me and Sparsh, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, Pranav, yeah.
Okay, by the next time we have our next video, we may be firing off some people of this podcast. Okay, guys?
Few mad people in our group.
We may have to make some changes, guys. So, thank you all for joining in. This may be our last podcast as a group together. We love you all. Goodbye.